It's two pretty good teams. Marquette is outstanding. My hat's off to them. Their backcourt was just short of spectacular. We got a lot of praise for Kolick. I don't know if anybody noticed his ankle, it's black and blue, played 38 minutes. Pretty tough kid. And then we knew, I think Cam, I said it pregame, is one of the most underrated players in the country. Can't turn the ball over 15 times. I thought we did exactly what we kind of wanted to do, was force them into twos. They're so good with Oso in ball screens and their flip backs and their what we call gets. Because he can really pass as well as Tyler does. So we were trying to force Tyler to score. He did a good job of it tonight. I was pleased with the fact we only gave up 5 threes. Toughness. We had a few rebounds late that we didn't secure. I thought we had them. We had good stops. We had good presence. And then, they just knocked the ball out of her hand. And then, you got to hit Oso with that length and wingspan. He back tipped. He had 6 offensive rebounds. And, all of a sudden, a couple unfortunate turnovers, a couple missed layups, and that's the ball game. I thought Marcus was sensational. Tonight, it was great to see him in an Illinois uniform just kind of break out. He was fantastic. I thought Luke came in and we saw what Luke is capable of. Quincy with 10 rebounds. I thought Justin gave us a great spark as well. But again, give them credit. We're a really good basketball team. They were better tonight. And take your hat off to them, and they made plays down the stretch, and we've got to continue to grow with our chemistry and our togetherness and development, and that will take effect in execution and some other things. But take your hat off to Marquette tonight.
It is The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. You heard Brad Underwood there, his opening statement after last night's defeat at the hands of Marquette, 71-64. We'll continue to break that down, get to the number of your texts on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. Let's do that now. 847 says, I just got here and I will say it's nice to finally hear you guys talk about what actually happened versus what can happen all summer. Put me in that boat as well. I like breaking down basketball games instead of you hit it, reach a point of like what this team can be. And we've broken down all we can. Now we're going to find out. And obviously still a lot of basketball to be played. So how you feel about this team in the current moment? I don't know. We're not going to learn a lot against Valpo and
no.
Southern and Western Illinois, which I am thoroughly thrilled that Black Friday at 8 p.m. tip off. We'll be playing Western Illinois at no other place I'd rather be. Before long, there'll be meaningful basketball games again as far as at Rutgers, Florida Atlantic, and then Tennessee.
When does Colgate come in here? Because they were up 24 on Syracuse one of these last couple nights.
It was last night.
It was last night.
Yeah, I think it's mid-December. It's right after finals, which is going to be a great time to play.
Oh, wow.
December 17th.
Oh, no.
Sandwiched in between the end of finals and bragging rights, Colgate comes to town. And they almost, that would have been the third straight year that they would have beaten Syracuse, but they blew it late.
They're up 24. That's what I saw.
Yeah.
Okay.
A team that shoots the three really well, too. So
I'm being quiet because, like, is this true, like, that Luke has been announced as the starting quarterback? I'm sorry.
No, I just, that's what I'm, people read it that way, but I don't think that's 100% accurate.
Okay. Sorry.
There hasn't been a statement where Brett Bielema said Luke will start Saturday. It was that.
Well, no, here it is. Breaking. Head coach Brett Bielema announces that Luke Altmyer will start Saturday versus Iowa. Did he?
It's all
tweeted
coming
by
from,
who?
Oh, it's all.
It's all coming from that.
I don't want to say it.
Okay.
It's all coming. I know who it's from.
Pat McAfee?
Okay. I've already. Yeah, I know who it's from.
Lee Corso?
I just
Lee,
don't. I don't.
Lee
think
threw
that.
On a number 9 jersey, and I'm like, he's starting. All right, I'll shut up.
Okay. I have a couple of times went on Jeremy Warner, Joey Wagner's Twitter accounts to see if they've reported anything on that. They have not, so I would hold steady until we get to that point. Brett Bielema will speak to the media tomorrow.
Okay,
he will obviously be questioned about his intent on that statement, and we'll have more clarity for you tomorrow as far as that goes. Back to the basketball side, let's get to a couple of these. Big Def can't turn the ball over 15 times. He's of course, quoting Brad Underwood there. Can you guys effort turnovers per game for Brad's Illini tenure to date?
Get on that, Kyle.
That's a lot of math. Maybe we could do it by season, what they did in terms of turnovers per game. But I know, what was it last year?
Yeah, they had the assist to turnovers not good last night.
Was not. Last year they were 207th in turnover rate, I can tell you that, in terms of where they rank nationally. Right now, they're 164th.
Yeesh.
So, I know this is an analytic, which Lon's going to love. But
Even that first year, remember with Trent and Io, they turned the ball over a ton.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you were like, how is that possible with those two guys? Oh, I'm all about analytics.
Analytics, they've turned the ball over around 18% of their possessions.
Okay, what's the normal?
See,
that's the problem with my analytics. I don't know what normal would be.
Yeah, I don't know. But it sounds good, doesn't it?
That sounds like a lot of turnovers.
I'd say below. You want below that if you're 164th in the country and you're turning over 18%. So maybe, you know, closer to 50. I think on the whole, a coach would tell you now, you know, number of possessions matters, but when you get 12-plus turnovers, that's where you're getting a little high. You'd like to keep it 10 or less if you could. Wisconsin, you know, a lot of years below 10. That's hard to do. But
yes.
It's the unforced ones, too.
Right.
There's going to be some – you're going to have some steals. You might make a gamble on a pass here or there.
Yeah, like Shannon early in that game last night tried to get one down to Coleman, and it got swiped. So those, you know, but – then coming down and throwing it four rows into
that's brutal.
Know your teammates, right? I mean, Damascus isn't getting up for that.
Coleman dribbling into a post up when Marquette traps the post every single time.
Every time.
Which
you
is
said
why
that
you don't
yesterday.
Play Dane Danger a whole lot. He's not going to do anything offensively.
No.
And then he throws, like, Ty decides, all right, there's 5 seconds on the shot clock. I'm going to cut. Coleman says, no, I'm going to throw it back to you. And it goes way out of bounds. That was a brutal stretch. Brutal.
I'm still not disappointed in that game last night.
No, I think on the whole, I predicted Marquette to win by 8. They win by 7.
Yeah.
It's not outside of what I thought would have happened.
Right.
So I'm not like so surprised or so disappointed in relation to my expectations. I think there are some certain things that we can pinpoint and say, hey, this is not what you would have hoped for the first three games of the season, or this guy's not playing well enough, notably Coleman, someone that, and I highlighted it going into last night's game, like he was facing a guy who is forecasted to be an early second round pick, and against him, he did not look within the realm of that. He's not on right now. We talk about him as an NBA prospect because, I mean, he was at the NBA Combine, projected at times last year to be picked. Right now, he's not on ESPN or The Athletic for being a draft pick, and he's going to have to play his way back into that to be that as a reality for him. And I don't want to – I hesitate to just go full on, let's bash Coleman Hawkins. But
well, he was bad last night.
He played pretty poorly. And on the whole, like he's – you look at his season stats so far, he's averaging 5 points a game, shooting 31% from the field – 1 for 7 from three, so that's 14%.
It's going horribly wrong so far.
It's pretty bad. Pretty bad.
And he's, you know, you have to rely on a guy like that. He's a 4-year guy. He's played a lot of minutes at Illinois. We have to be able to rely, let me rephrase that. Illinois has to be able to rely on consistent games out of Coleman, and unfortunately, you do not get that. You said it yesterday, Jekyll and Hyde. And a lot of the reason you are that is because one of your guys that you need to rely on is the leader of the Jekyll and Hyde.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's Coleman Hawkins.
It's frustrating.
Did Kyle, I want you to respond to this as well. So while I'm watching that game last night, again, like, I enjoyed the game. It was fun to watch Kolek. It was, I thought it was neat. I thought Damask played his butt off. I loved watching Luke hit shots. Shannon's fun to watch. Guerrier getting some boards, you know. But as I'm watching that game and I'm sensing how good Marquette is or could be, it hit me like this team has a ceiling, Illinois. They have a ceiling. And I think that's what scares us fans in March. Because after that Kansas game, I thought to myself, okay, and maybe cue Bill's tweet now. But after that game, I thought to myself, okay, maybe this team's just got a lot of different ways that they can hurt you. And I certainly don't want to use one game and come to this conclusion that they're not winning more than one game in March. Mm-hmm. But there was something about the game last night. It's an effort for them sometimes to get what they need. And for some teams, and some Illinois teams in the past, it wasn't an effort, right? You could just kind of tell that team was like, oh, yeah, this is a team that could do some damage. And I still think maybe this team is a team that could, with the veterans, with the experience, that they could still grind out two or, you know, a couple of wins in March, let's say. But I don't know. It hit me last night. I was like, I think there's a ceiling on this team.
Yeah, no, and Scott weighs in on the U of I Atlanta League text line on that. How low is the ceiling without a point guard?
Right.
All I've
point.
Heard in 40 years is that guards win in March.
Yep.
I get it. I just think there are some obvious pitfalls for this team that it's frustrating to think about what that could mean for as good as Terrence Shannon is, for as old as this team is. If not having a point guard means you're untrustworthy down the stretch, which we know a lot of games in March Madness are decided within the last 4 to 8 minutes in the second half. And if your offense is going to have a hard time, if you're going to your point, labor to run a good possession.
Right.
Are you going to go far? Mm-hmm. Are you going to have somebody that can make things easy for himself and other people around him? And that's in question because Terrence Shannon, who is very talented,
yep,
very athletic, he puts a lot of pressure on people. He's not a natural ball in the hand.
Right.
Every possession, go get your shot. And he's trying to become that, and he's done a lot of good things during his time here at Illinois. But and then, like, let's call it like it is. Coleman Hawkins, if he's your second best player, if he's your third best player, if he's one of those key cogs in all of this, if he's just flat out unreliable, is that ever going to change? And does that make your team unreliable? I think that's one way to look at it as well.
That's well said.
And I agree with you. Like, Marquette is going, and look, they are one of the top offensive teams in the country for a reason.
Sure.
They have a lot of answers. You want to try to guard them different ways. They can do different things to you. But I think the athletic question is something that I wonder about with this team too, depending on the matchup. If there's another team out there that's going to have four guys that can drive it, and who is Luke Goody Garden? Who is Marcus Damask Garden? If those guys aren't on the court, who the heck's going to shoot the threes? Like, there's just a lot of questions right now. It is early in the season. I still put a lot of stock into this being an older team. I do think that, you know, I'm not completely writing off Justin Harmon right now. I think he's got a chance to come on a little bit more. Marcus Damask continuing to define what his role is, maybe even enlarging it after last night. I like Shannon. But yeah, I think big picture too. A lot of people are wondering, you know, what's the ceiling of the Big Ten as a whole?
Oh yeah, well,
so that may be a different topic of conversation. But Kyle, what do you think ceiling wise for Illinois? We're three games in. Take it with that context. But what is your gauge on that?
I totally agree with you guys in that. I get the sense, especially when watching a team comparatively to like a Marquette, and just I look at this team and I do get concerned about, you know, how good, when they're at their best, how good is that? Like, is that a top team in the country? Is that a team that's going to compete for a Final Four? Like, I have some questions about that with just the obvious flaws that are there that I just don't really know how you correct them. Like, I just, yep. You don't have a point guard on the roster. That's not changing in 3 months. Like,
that's just, what a 309 just said. And yeah, I think, we need to deal with it.
I think the other thing, too, is that we talk all about the experience on this team, which I think is going to be important for them being overall a good team this year. But it's not a situation where you have this younger team where certain guys are coming in and they're trying to get adjusted. Like, yeah, these guys are who they are, really. And so I don't think that's necessarily going to change drastically as the season goes on. I think you just kind of got to adapt to what these guys are. And I just I struggle when I see how stagnant things were, especially on offense last night, to get to a place where I have a lot of confidence that this is going to be a Big Ten title contender or a team that, well, it might, you know, they might take their lumps here against Marquette, but ultimately come February and March, it's going to look totally different.
Right. No,
I just don't know if that's going to happen with this particular group and the flaws that are there.
Yeah. I think you said it best. Like you kind of know who these guys are by now, right? We know what Shannon is. It's good. We know kind of what Coleman, although I would argue he's the one guy I don't quite know.
But that's been the case for 4 years.
That's
so that's
the problem.
Just who he is. Like, you
well,
don't
that's
know.
True. Who he is somebody we don't know what's going to happen every game. Remember Syracuse? I know it was a zone, but he couldn't miss from like 15 to 17. How about step in and shoot those instead of shooting threes? Instead of planting yourself outside the three-point line, shoot that.
Well, we know he's not going to the rim either.
No.
Like, that's not something that he's done. And I know someone mentioned, can Coleman play like a true five and back people down?
I don't think so. He did a couple times.
Unless you have
late.
A real, I don't know, if you don't have a true five,
right.
Like if you're playing a smaller lineup against Illinois, then maybe he can do that. That's not on his game.
He did it last year in a game late.
I think it was Penn State.
Is that it? Who it was? Okay.
He doesn't really have a lot of size.
Because he did, and he showed some, at least enough to where you're like, But yeah, I've never been a guy that's like yelled too loudly at Coleman shooting threes, but I think he just needs to stop. And unfortunately, that's what the NBA wants to see him do.
Well, and this offense needs,
and they need it.
They need capable shooters. And if he's going to be your five man and try to play that pick and pop him, because he plays 90%, if not more, on the perimeter. Like he's outside of the lane operate. If he's not going to shoot, then.
Yep.
But I get it. Like I said it earlier in the show, he shot 27-28% from three on his career. So there's a tough contrast there of all right, he maybe needs to shoot threes to maximize his value, but then if he shoots threes and misses them, then he's hurting the team. Let's mention briefly, speaking of the realities not changing,
yeah.
I know we got to catch a break, Kyle. I'm sorry. Really quick. Sincere Harris. He's redshirting.
He would have helped last night.
He would have helped on Cole.
And that's obvious.
That was a game similar to, you saw Tiger Campbell last year. You saw Marcus Carr last year. You saw Boo Booey last year. But
Sincere just doesn't want to help. He wants to play. I mean, he wants to be. Yeah, he.
But on the note of that, if someone is like missing Sincere Harris, take it up with Sincere Harris.
Correct.
He did not want to play in that role.
Yep.
So he took himself out of that mix. Maybe he sees last night. I'm not saying he's going to do it, but you'd have to think in his head, like, hey, that would have been a game that Brad, after 5 minutes of Colt going off, is going to say, Sincere, go get him.
Could have used me. Wasn't he warming up and such?
He's in the uniform and
Yeah,
goes through warm-ups. And Justin Harmon, having put up, 4 points in three games, he's probably like, hey, maybe I could actually beat this guy out.
Nah, and he could.
But, again, Sincere Harris made that call.
Right.
So we're due for a break. We got another clip of Brad Underwood to play before we get out of here. Some more text to get to. Continue to weigh in. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Line of Link text line. Sorry, Kyle. It is the Drive.
The hammering, the sawing, the drilling, all the sounds of the workplace from music to our ears. You can be a part of construction projects large and small as a Carpenters Local 243 member. Learn to excel with apprentice and journeyman training. Members enjoy all the benefits this internationally recognized union has to offer. It's a life-changing decision. Join the Local 243 family tradition. Contact Carpenters Local 243 at 217-356-5463.
In an ever-changing real estate market, it is so important to work with experienced agents like Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor teams at Taylor Realty Associates. They have the knowledge and expertise to get your home sold for the most amount of money in the shortest amount of time. Trust the experience and success of Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor team at Taylor Realty Associates. Give them a call today at 217-355-0700 or visit them online at taylorboys.com. That's taylorboys.com.
Mom, she won't stop touching me. Breakfast stinks.
Guys, no phones at the table.
Family dinner time? Not easy. But you know what is easy? OSF On-Call Urgent Care. When you need convenient, affordable care for minor illnesses and injuries, you need OSF On-Call Urgent Care. Be seen in person or connect 24/7 online when and where you need it. Learn more at osfoncall.org/urgentcare.
Jeremiah 29:11 states, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." What a comfort we have in this passage, as the Lord is telling Jeremiah, "I care for you and will take care of you." If you are in despair and think you have no hope, pray to the Lord for guidance. See how your life can be changed and the lives of those around you. This message brought to you by the Blossom Basket Florist.
Norm Miller here, chairman of Interstate Batteries. You know, without batteries, life would be pretty lifeless. That's why Interstate All Battery Centers carry them in every size, shape, and style, so you can drive, drill, call, film, or do whatever it is you want to do. Stop in today. They've got the power to keep you going. Interstate All Battery Center. Outrageously dependable.
Interstate All Battery Center. You'll find them outrageously dependable just over Interstate 74 at 2504 North Mattis Avenue in Champaign, with batteries for most every application in stock.
Everybody needs insurance, and that's why I love Kyle Lewis at Insurance Providers Group. This is Jay Layman, All-American linebacker. Kyle provides auto, life, health, and all kinds of commercial lines of insurance. They are my one-stop shop for all my insurance needs, and all my rental properties are insured by IPG. That's why you need to email Kyle at IPGINS.com. Kyle at IPGINS.com.
When it comes to finding a reliable vehicle, look no further than Sarah Champagne, your trusted automotive destination. They carry a lineup of top brands, including Honda, BMW, Subaru, GMC, and Buick. And they're not just about cars, they're about people. Their team is dedicated to providing you with trustworthy service and dependable vehicles that fit your lifestyle. Experience the difference at Sarah Champagne. Visit Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champagne.com. Here's what somebody recently said at Pards in Urbana. I was there just a few minutes, and somebody came up and asked if I needed help. And they were incredible, helped me find the size of boot I needed. And then I bought a second pair, too. Everything was friendly. Everything was excellent. Visit Pards in Urbana, 206 North Maple, between Main and University in Urbana. It's Pards Western Shop since 1968. Or go online and visit Pards.com. Pards.com.
Did you know the Anita Purvis Nature Center is a home for live animals? Stop by the Nature Center. View the turtles, owls, snakes, and salamanders. These were orphaned or injured animals who wouldn't be able to survive in the wild, but they help educate the public at the Nature Center. Sponsor an educational animal for as little as $15 a month. And make sure that animal has good food, housing, and medical care. For details, visit urbanaparks.org.
These days, it seems like bank names are changing faster than a forecast in February. But at Iroquois Federal, we're still the same community bank we've always been. For more than 135 years, we've built relationships by helping build the things that matter, whether it's a business, a back porch, or the building blocks of a better life. If you're looking for a bank that's here for the long haul, swing by today and see for yourself why different rules. Iroquois Federal, still friendly, still local, still here.
We've got to continue to grow. We've got to be more than Terrence Shannon ramming his head downhill. And we've got to learn to trust that. We had Marcus. It can't be just him, trying to get to a spot and making a shot. That's what we did last year. It can't be, Coleman, dribbling. We've got to believe in what we're doing. And when we do it, we're really good. We got to do a better job of keep evolving and creating gaps and double gaps for those guys to drive. But you've got to have enough poise. We did it in the Kansas scrimmage. We were poised and ran good offense, and we got the ball where we needed to, and we flowed. When the ball gets stagnant in one person's hands, whether it's Terrence, whether it's Coleman, whether it's Marcus, whoever it is, defenses are going to load up, and it makes it very difficult to do that. Like I said, our OER the first half was really good. We got the shots we wanted. We've got to continue to find ways to get the ball in the paint in different areas. But, we'll keep working on it.
Back on the drive at Sandpiper, ESPN Radio 93.5. You heard Brad Underwood mention there, getting the ball more to the paint. I said earlier in the show, 44-20 points in the paint for Marquette. Illinois also only had 5 second chance points. Certainly pretty concerning. Yeah. On the note of points in the paint, we had a text about Dane Danger. He only played 3 or 4 minutes last night.
I mean, besides him, who's taking it to the paint? Damask.
Shannon downhill for sure.
Shannon.
Damask, I feel like you've got to almost throw it to him in the mid post to get to the paint. Right. I don't think he's beaten his guy probably from the perimeter to the basket.
So you're talking more like when you say Shannon, he doesn't go underneath and necessarily post his guy up.
No.
You're talking more about just getting to the basket. Lane. Gotcha. Gotcha.
Yep.
Because I'm thinking more of like Dane going in and posting up and getting it in the lane. So I wanted to make sure I knew exactly what you were talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah, I totally get that.
Are you okay? You mentioned it earlier.
Ty had one early.
He did.
But he feels like somebody I think could get in the paint. Because whoever's guarding him is going to be a smaller stature dude, I would think.
You would imagine, yep.
All right, you were asking, sorry.
You said it earlier that you didn't find a want to see more Dane Danger last night.
No.
He's only playing 11 minutes per game right now. What do you guys think about that? Like, they're going to be different matchup depends stuff. Like, Marquette trapping the post every time. There's really no value in having Dane Danger out there, most likely. And he over-dribbled when the trap came. And I know that made Brad mad, and he subbed him out. So, what do you guys think as far as his minutes at the 5?
It does seem like there's some guys that they have such a shorter leash, right? Or it could be that all week leading up to this game, Brad harped on do not dribble into the trap or et cetera. And then when that happens, I mean, again, I coached in life, never to this level, but there were certain things I would tell my team, here's what I don't want you doing. And as soon as they'd get out there, the first thing they would do is what I didn't want them doing. And I'm like, take him out, get him out. I don't care who it is. Get him out. I want to talk to him about it as to why you weren't listening to me. Yeah, Kevin asked the question on the U of I Line of Lake text line. He did the Jack Buck. He's like, minutes, Danger 4. I think there are going to be games where Dane plays a big part in a role. Like in the Big Ten, I feel like he's going to be okay. I just didn't feel like that flow of the game and that style that Marquette plays. I just felt like Dane, when he was on there, was just kind of a step slow, and I was like, yeah. And then he had the goaltending, which, I mean, admittedly, it's hard to just, like, join a race halfway through when you've got a team like Marquette going 100 miles an hour, and you're like, hey, Dane, go in there, and you're like, holy crap. But I just, from the get-go, I was like, this isn't Dane's kind of game. I feel like that. Could he have been a guy, though, that got you the ball in the paint? I just don't think so. Kyle, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it was a terrible matchup for him when he did come out there. I thought he was hurting you more than he was helping you.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt the same way in his minutes against Kansas in the exhibition, not to keep going back to that game. But it's just – I just feel like he for whatever reason, and maybe those are just two really poor matchups for him. And like you said, I think there will be certain games in the Big Ten where he really helps you. But unless he's given you something, like I just don't feel the need. I haven't found myself in any of the games that have been played so far like, oh, man, we really needed Dane Danger right in there. He would have really helped you in this area. I just – he hasn't really shown much so far, and he needs to, especially defensively, really just get a lot better.
Yep.
Yeah. And he lost some weight, right? And so I kind of thought he'd
be – he's trimmed up some, yeah.
Yeah, I thought he might be a little quicker. And, again, it's early, and look, he could come out this next game and get you 18 and
– he probably will. No, I mean, these are the matchups that he has dominated.
Right, exactly, exactly. I know Daryl said we played a good team with two potential pros to a 7-point game, and I don't feel anyone on Illinois had a super good game. So I'm still half full. As they have, what, five players that have only played four games as Illinois, with the Illini, in other words, in the mix. So, yeah, I mean, get it. Listen, Marquette is good.
I agree.
That is a good team.
I very much agree.
And I think that they're going to make a lot of teams frustrated the next day. Or that night, in other words, but a lot of radio guys frustrated the next day talking about how Marquette just – I mean, they beat UConn twice last year.
They did.
And returned
pretty
basically
much the same
everybody.
Team, except for one four-man.
Mm. So are we always probably more critical and more positive than maybe we should be? I don't think you are, Derek. I am. So I think that's just natural. I think that's natural. So I just, like, my last word today, I know we still got time here. Well, Kyle, let's take a break. What the heck? You're always wanting breaks, so here we go. I'm kidding. I think my lasting thought on this is just, like, I'm not that frustrated by what occurred last night. The only thing I'm frustrated about, and maybe by saying this I should be really nervous, is it just kind of bogged down.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a concern going into the season from what we saw last year. And it's like, oh, no. It's like we went back to what we do.
Yes.
Right? If you're right-handed and you always go in and shoot a left-handed layup right-handed and your coach is sitting there for an hour saying you got to shoot it left-handed and you get into a game and in the heat of the moment you go up and you shoot it right-handed from the left side and it gets blocked, it's because you went back to what you felt your strength was. And I don't think Illinois feels their strength is to be sluggish, if that's a word. But certainly there were times where that felt like that, and it was just – it felt like it was an effort. And then Marquette would go down and score. And you're like, ah, well, hold on a second. So I don't know. But, I'm not that.
Yeah, to reiterate, it was
not panicked.
Very much what I expected as far as the result.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that Marquette would win the game. I thought that they were built to hurt you in a number of different areas because of their guard play, because they have a great point guard, you don't, because they can pressure the ball, and Illinois turned it over. They turned it over 15 times. Well, some of that was very much self-inflicted and not necessarily Marquette swiping it out of your hands, although there was one time Kolick just completely takes it from Coleman with his back to the plate. Kolick, even on, I know offensively, very much stands out, but he's just very instinctive defensively and just a really, really good player. So,
and amazingly, playing with only one ankle last night.
Yeah,
he was
crazy.
Able to steal the ball, run full court, one-footed, and make a layup.
Mm.
I was amazed by that.
He donated his left ankle to charity. It was a very admirable move. Just what a gutsy dude.
I just wish he wouldn't have done that because I think he's got a future.
Yeah, I agree as well. But, yeah, no, I expected Marquette to win. I think they're the better team.
Yes.
There are things that we can extrapolate from Illinois' performance that needs to change for them to have a higher ceiling, for them to be more productive, for them to get a marquee win during this non-conference slate. And I think that's all very, very fair. Gary on the U of I Atlanta League
I like
line.
This is Gifford Gary, by the
Gifford
way.
Gary.
Not just Gary.
Okay, my bad.
It's my guy, Gifford Gary.
Gifford Gary. I want to see more offensive sets. Marquette also dictated that with their pressure defense. No worries here. We will get it figured out.
But can we run sets? That's what I want to know. Like, is this... Okay, here's my question. It's the chicken or the egg. Is this Brad not running sets by choice, or is this Brad knowing that we can't run sets because we don't have a guy to get us into offensive sets? Honestly, if you could answer that question for me, you're going to open up a ray of light for me the rest of this season, because I don't know.
I feel like the way that his offenses have been through the years, even when they've been really, really good, they have not run a lot of sets.
They don't.
They like to run a lot of pick and roll, and they want to play within a flow offense, some read and react, some obviously some handoff action through Coleman, pick and pop. It's a flow-based offense within a system instead of a set play where they're looking to the sideline. And, you know, a coach that runs a ton of sets is Matt Painter. Matt Painter runs a lot of sets.
Big time.
And I mentioned this before Kansas. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm sure people are going to have an opinion on it. And I'm not trying to say this is the final evaluation on what Illinois' offense is going to be this season. But Bill Self, interestingly, said leading into that game that, hey, during the summer, we worked a lot on our offense, installing what we want, and we'll build from there. And then go into the fall, our offense, we got confidence. We know what we're going to do. Let's then focus on defense of establishing, you know, kind of our habits and what we're going to look like at that end. Illinois has been the opposite. They leave it more open-ended and want guys to just play free.
Yep.
Offensively, defense, they get really into their assignments and what the defense should look like and establishing their identity defensively. So then it gets closer to the season, and Illinois is maybe putting the finer details and the pieces together offensively. So I feel like there's not a lot of sets installed. That's my personal opinion. Do they need to do that? I think that that's a fair wonder and potential criticism, although it's still early in the season to maybe implement that. And I think that's something that in these next couple of games, especially against the opponents you're going to play, maybe you want to see more of that in spots to see if you can design those looks.
And a 217 said nobody really runs sets anymore. I think there's more than you think. Now, listen, my highest level of playing was high school. And high school basketball is a series of sets, right? I mean, I know some teams maybe rely more on different things, but the teams that I watch are constantly running sets, and you can tell what they're trying to accomplish. And sometimes when it works well, it's like, dang, that was pretty smooth. Or you can tell where it went wrong. And then it's like, uh-oh, somebody make a play, right? But it seems like in high school especially, you're always in a set until you're not. Until you've either scored or, okay, whoop, that ball that was supposed to go to Johnny on the baseline didn't. Now we've got to kind of just regroup, get it to somebody that can make a move and make a score.
Right.
I think college is more free flow. There's no doubt about that.
Yes.
But I think there are times where teams run sets more maybe than people see. But I don't ever see it on Illinois.
Yeah, I think it depends on the team.
Yeah.
Marquette, really, last night was not trying to show off some new invention. They were running pick and roll with Kolick. He was getting in some ISOs and taking guys one-on-one. They decided at times to clear out and put Iguodaro on the on the mid post or the block by himself and make that a choice. And then they just have guards that can make their own plays off the dribble. Illinois needs more of that. I think there's some candidates to do that. I think through the season, as he gets more experience, can Draven Gibbs-Lawhorn do that? Can Ty Rogers in more spots do that? Obviously, you're not going to respect Ty's shooting ability because it's not really worth respecting at this point, and maybe never will be. But there are teams that very much just run free flowing stuff, and then there's other squads that really do run a lot of sets. I know UConn last year ran quite a few sets. So, but if you don't practice it, you can't expect it to to work in a game.
No. Eagle.
I don't know, and I think personnel-wise, there's some stuff that even if you did run a set play, hey, does that mean that, you know, sometimes to execute a good set, you might need the point guard to make the right plays within a set.
Ding, so, ding, ding.
You could use that argument as well.
We had two texts in a row that I was smiling at, Derek. I wasn't smiling at what you were
saying.
It's
happened like three times today. I know. Where two people have texted
at
the same time,
basically. 847, we didn't even have an inbound
play. We'll read your text. Don't use your burner phone. You got both your numbers now.
People are that advanced. They're like texting with both hands. Of course, you bring up the internet with your left. I've always been impressed with that. 847. We didn't even have an inbounds play. It was just whoever's playing the five, just post up and lob it. I said that to myself last night. And then Justin said, why does Illinois not have an inbound play that can score? Their inbound plays are terrible. Bill Self is the king of that, of the inbounds play to score. He was at Illinois. He is at Kansas. It seemed like he always has a play that leads to a bucket. I've seen it out of Brad. But certainly last night, I did not see it. It was just lobbing into Coleman. And I was like, do we not have anything?
Even at one point, Shaka yells, oh, so go get it. Because it would have been Coleman being guarded by Igudaro on an inbounds. And he knew they were going to throw a lob pass to Coleman, who's the five. And Shaka's like, I don't even need to know what you're, play one, play two.
Right, I don't care.
Spin cycle, whatever, like
green 40.
They're gonna just lob it up and go like, oh, so go get it for us. He didn't, but that's kind of to the point of, I'm not gonna pretend here like, oh yeah, you know, the inside buzz around Ubbin is that Illinois doesn't actually believe in inbounds plays.
And they don't shoot free.
Sources say. Yeah.
My sources.
They don't actually put a free throw line out on the court. It's just They've elected not to put that stripe down.
And they play Nerf hoop for an hour every day. Yeah. That'd be kind of fun. Hey, Bill said, Derek, I need help with this. I don't understand. Oh, guy gets trapped on either a 7 or an 8 count, calls timeout. They give him another 10 seconds. So if you have 3 timeouts in the last 25, you never have to advance past half court. Now, the women's game doesn't have the 10-second count anymore, right? Or is it the men's game? Does one of the games?
The women's.
Women. So I think that is correct. If you call a timeout, you're rewarded another 10 seconds.
Yeah. So technically, yeah, you could do that.
Yeah.
Can I say not directly to that, but in terms of like
don't
Mark
you be
calling a timeout? No, I'm not correcting
you.
I'm saying,
like, here comes
can
Kyle.
Can I just mention real quick, Tyler Kolek took 5 steps on the one.
Oh, my Lord. And then he traveled again.
come on, man.
He took 5 steps.
Swallow the whistle on that one. Illinois wouldn't have won anyway, but that one was just
insane.
Yeah,
I tweeted that out. He took 5 steps, dribbled it once or twice, and then took 3 steps. I'm like, he traveled twice?
In front of the ref's face.
Right.
In
front of the ref's face. Yeah, that was,
You guys are right. I saw that replay on Twitter.
And you're right. It wouldn't have changed the game, but I was just like, holy crap, guys. I mean, what are we watching here? That was, that was kind of funny. Scott, Bill Self ran the best offense in my lifetime, in my opinion. And he's old, he said. He's old like me. John Wooden ran some good offense back in the day, Scott. Of course, you had Bill Walton and Lou Alcindor at the time.
Those guys good?
And then they said, you can't dunk anymore. How funny is that? Like, they literally came along and said, you can't dunk anymore.
That's nuts.
Nobody can dunk. My mom has always said, raise the basket to 12 feet, and it will be a better game. That's what she's always said. That's what she's always said. She said, it's too easy for some guys to score. Part of the problem is these NBA guys have hands that stretch from me to Kyle. So have you ever shot a women's basketball?
Sure.
Have you ever noticed how you make more shots with a women's basketball?
I guess so.
You would. I promise you, if you and I went out and shot right now, and it's because you can control it better. And these guys that have hands, like Larry Bird used to have that, what was it? The Larry Bird connection in Terre Haute. And his placemats were his hands. So you could put your hand down on his, and you were, like, literally blown away how much longer his hands were, his fingers and everything. And, like, 4 of them were broken, so they went every direction. But it's just like, holy crap. You know, you think of Jordan and what he could do with a ball palm it. And I've always said, like, hands in if you got a guy with – it's like quarterback, I think. You know, they can just do more with the ball. I don't know where I went on that. Where'd that go? Where'd that come from?
Raising the rim.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Two hands. Hands across America.
Big hands. What's that mean? You got to catch a break. It is the drive.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery. It's time to come home to Carpet Weavers. We don't want you to just like your new floors. We want you to love them. From waterproof floors and carpet to furnitures and design advice, we've got a team of experts on your side. We'll get you the best price and the best quality products. And complete your home with furniture and accessories. Buy it all with free financing, too. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
Kelsey Furniture in downtown Tuscola sells Tempur-Pedic beds. What's it like?
I'm going to tell you right now, Stevie, that thing is the best thing I've ever slept on in my life. My wife and I both have said we've never had better night's sleep. And the people at Kelsey's were fantastic. Brian is the guy that helped us. You know, as much as I did my research, he has a world of knowledge about beds themselves. Oh, man, it's like sleeping on a cloud, man.
Kelsey Furniture, downtown Tuscola.
With the leaves and temperatures beginning to fall, it's time to make sure those furnaces are in great running order. Get that furnace tuned up so it doesn't let you down on the cold nights. Dogtown is the people's choice number one HVAC company again in 2023. Ask about the current 0% financing offer on all Lennox high comfort systems and single component units for qualifying applicants. The number's 217-841-4728. Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend.
If you're in the market for a new car battery, you could go to one of those big box stores, except there's no guarantee you'll be served by an actual car expert.
Clean up in aisle three.
You could pick a battery off the shelf, except it might be close to expiring. Or you could just come into Interstate. Don't make a big box store blunder. With competitive prices and a more personal, reliable approach, Interstate Batteries is the clear-cut choice if you want to guarantee yourself a new and trustworthy car battery. They're open and ready to serve you at 2504 North Mattis Avenue in Champaign.
In an ever-changing real estate market, it is so important to work with experienced agents like Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor teams at Taylor Realty Associates. They have the knowledge and expertise to get your home sold for the most amount of money in the shortest amount of time. Trust the experience and success of Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor team at Taylor Realty Associates. Give them a call today at 217-355-0700 or visit them online at taylorboys.com. That's taylorboys.com.
Have you ever wondered why you pay your bank to have a checking account with them? We do too. At Fisher National Bank, we offer free checking accounts that reward you to bank with us. Our Rewards Cash Back Checking offers 2.02% cash back on debit card purchases up to $500 monthly. No service fees or balance requirements needed to earn rewards. For a free checking account that pays you back, simply make 12 debit card purchases, receive electronic statements, and have one direct deposit within a monthly cycle. It's so simple. We bet you're doing most of these things already. With Rewards Cash Back Checking, you have access to Reward Saver, which earns 4.07 annual percentage yield on balances up to $20,000. Reward yourself with free Rewards Cash Back Checking and Reward Saver, a few of the many ways Fisher National Bank invests in our customers. See monthly requirements at any branch or fishernational.com. Fisher National Bank, exceptional communities, exceptional people. Member FDIC.
Crossroads Contractor Supply specializes in the delivery of tools and supplies within a 150-mile radius of Champaign-Urbana. Reliable, timely, and with reasonable prices, Crossroads Contractor Supply knows what equipment and tools are needed for your job. Their slogan, "We have it when you need it." Get the job done right with proper tools and equipment. Did something break? Construction materials as well as safety equipment all available. Call 402-8123. Visit Crossroads Contractor Supply IL.
You moved into your new home using two men and a truck. The garage was clean. Then,
I love the new recliner. What are we going to do with this old one?
Put it in the garage for now.
Over time, this cycle continued.
Garage for now. Put it in the garage for now. Put it in the garage for now. Put it in the garage for now.
It happens. You got junk. Call Two Men and a Truck to get rid of all your junk. Residential or commercial, Two Men and a Truck has a solution for your junk removal. Contact them at twomenchampagne.com. Two Men and a
Truck. Saturday, November 18th for one night only at the Virginia Theater. Come out to the red carpet world movie premiere of the family-friendly comedy, Irresponsible, starring Keith Campton. parts of the movie filmed right here in our town and features dozens of local actors. Come and meet all the stars of the movie and ask questions, get pictures, and free autographs. Doors open at 6 p.m., showtime at 7. Virginia Theater, November 18th. For more information, go to thevirginia.org, thevirginia.org.
That was a good breakdown of OVC talk there.
We're getting some trouble.
Yeah.
Yep.
We just went through the entire Ohio Valley Conference.
Yeah.
Off the air.
I agree.
And I should have
attended. When you forecast that far ahead, you can get in some trouble.
That is that's exactly
I will give a shout out to the 217 with the Show Like It 2 reference. Tip of the cap, sir. Or ma'am. Especially, yeah, it's a ma'am.
Oh.
Anywho,
I want to watch some YouTube tonight of Larry Bird talking smack. Those are some of the best YouTube videos to watch. It's easy to go down a what do you call it? Just a rabbit hole? I don't know why we say a rabbit hole. Well, I guess because they actually get
holes. You go down, yeah. down the hole, yeah, I don't know. Sounded bad. But
you ever notice like rabbits will, they'll have babies in a certain spot and four of the five are killed by dogs or whatever, and the next year they'll do the same thing in the same spot. I'm like, I you think you'd learn.
It's not something I've really thought a lot about.
Well, do you not have a lot of... I'm telling you, you're sitting right now in the rabbit capital of the world in Philo. You can tell there's no fox or coyotes to get into town because there are rabbits everywhere. I don't mind a rabbit, though. They don't...
To eat or to see it hopping around?
I have had rabbit.
You've had rabbit?
It's actually pretty good.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Back in the day. Had it at the Harbaugh House in Camargo. Look at that.
Like rabbit stew or was it?
No, it was like a, yeah, like eating chicken, you know, like that.
Baked rabbit?
Yeah. Nice. Something like that. Nice. I don't know how they made it. I was pretty young.
Smoked?
I think I had to try it.
Deep fried?
I don't know. If you deep fry anything, right?
Yeah.
You're pretty good.
Tell we've run out of Illinois Marquette thoughts.
We've gone as
real quick though.
The crowd was pretty good last night, right?
Yeah, it was great.
It was really, really good.
Sold out 15-4. Is that the capacity? Something like that. 15-9.
That second half run when like Terrence Shannon had that transition bucket and Coleman hit the three, like man, it was rocking.
Let's go.
And then it just couldn't get over the hump after that.
Well, that and when they missed the two free throws to get free nuggets.
Yeah.
Early.
That place exploded.
Right off the bat.
Exploded.
It was a big-time environment. It was fun to get back to that where, unfortunately, the Kansas game, it wasn't to that level. And just felt like it really turned it all the way up to 100 in terms of college basketball season. And it's always great to have a big game at State Farm Center.
Guess who needs money? Andrew Tay just showed up. Walks in, he sits on the couch, he doesn't say anything. Kyle knows. Kyle's got it figured out by now. And then it's, yo, that's what he says. And then he's like, you got any cash? And he says hi to you, and then he walks out.
Andrew, have you noticed the rabbits around here?
There's a lot of rabbits.
Yeah, he does. He does.
Dash is the rabbit killer. All right, sorry, Derek.
Scores around the Big Ten real quick before we get out of here.
Yeah.
Last night, Iowa fell short against Creighton, 92-84. We talked about the over last night. It would have hit if you bet that. Should have done that. Iowa did cover the spread, and Ben Krique, the transfer from Valpo, did put up 24 points. I still think this is going to be, I said it in the offseason, I still believe it, Iowa's going to score points.
Yep.
They're going to have to outscore you.
Right.
I think they'll be a decent team that is going to put up some numbers offensively.
And you finish the year there, right?
Yes, you do. Regular season finale.
That could be a big game.
Duke beat Michigan State 74-65.
You guys,
Michigan State
it.
Only scored 20 points in the first half. Wow. Looked like another situation where Tyson Walker put up his numbers but didn't have nearly enough help. Malik Hall had a good game, but Jaden Akins, A.J. Hogard were off yet again, and Matty Sissoko had 9 points, three rebounds. Why he's your starting five is just
Kyle's
indictment on Tom Izzo.
Kyle's getting nervous.
Oh, and Wisconsin was non-competitive.
Yeah, they were.
Yep.
Scott, it was Max Harbaugh. Max. Max and Dorothy Harbaugh, Camargo, Illinois. Sorry. He asked if it was Marty. Don't know a Marty.
When you said Harbaugh, I was wondering if maybe Connor Stallions was there. Or...
I don't think he was alive yet. In fact, I know he wasn't because I was under 10 at that point. So I think. Hey, next, what, tomorrow you got Brett Bielema speaking.
Yeah.
He's still throwing shade right on Twitter.
He had a tweet where he retweeted the Paddock throw at the end, and he's like, best is yet to come.
Oh, see?
They're just.
He knows what he's.